Pick up your copy now of the text for this morning, Revelation chapter 4. Let's read all 11 verses. We've been dealing for five Sundays with the first two verses. We'll enter verse 3 this morning with that first phrase. But listen carefully to all 11 verses, please. Hear now God's word. After these, I looked, and lo, a door having been opened in the heaven, and the sound. The first that I heard is a trumpet, speaking to me, saying, come up here, and I will show you what is necessary to take place after these. Immediately I did come in spirit, and lo, a throne set in the heaven, and upon the throne one sitting, and the one sitting like stone, jasper and sardonyx in appearance, and a rainbow round about the throne like emerald in appearance. Round about the throne 24 thrones, and upon the thrones 24 elders having been clothed in white garments, and upon their heads gold crowns. And from the throne coming forth lightnings and sounds and thunderings, and seven fiery lamps ablaze before the throne that are the seven spirits of God, and before the throne as glassy sea like crystal, and in midst of the throne and round about the throne four creatures being entirely of eyes front and back, and the first creature like unto a lion, and the second creature like unto a calf, and the third creature having the face as of man, the fourth creature like unto a flying eagle, and the four creatures, one by one of them, having six wings each, being entirely of eyes around and within, and they have no paws, saying, holy, 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 Kurios, the God, the Almighty, the was, and the is, and the coming. And whatever the creatures will present glory and honor and thanksgiving to the one sitting on the throne, to the one living into the ages of the ages, the 24 elders will prostrate themselves before the one sitting on the throne, and they will adore the one living into the ages of the ages, and they will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, the Lord and our God, to receive the glory and the honor and the power. For you did create all, and by your will they are, and they were created. Thank you. Please be seated. And the one sitting like stone. Went through a little exercise with this in the second hour, last Lord's Day, but we need to work with it more closely today. This is right at the heart of the matter, what we see or in what John sees in the heaven. And if we don't get this, then we won't get a full understanding of the letter to the churches. Let me begin with a statement made with regard to Trinity during the discourse that occurred at the Council of Nicaea. The Nicene Creed, as you know, is used frequently in this church. The Athanasian Creed is used less frequently. But there in that city, which is now in western Turkey, not too far from the seven cities to which this letter was originally written, there occurred in 360 AD a mighty battle for the faith against Arianism. Arianism is an eternally deadly heresy which is still much alive in Jehovah's Witness, in Mormonism, and in Islam, Mohammedanism. Here's the discourse. I'll read it for you. Just listen really carefully, okay? It's from Athanasius himself. And I quote, "The fact is, then, that the Word is not from things created, but is rather Himself their creator. For this reason did he assume a body created and human, so that having renewed it as its creator, he might deify it in himself, and thus might introduce all of us in that likeness into the kingdom of the heaven. A man would not have been deified if joined to a creature, nor if the Son were not God. Neither would a man have been brought into the Father's presence if he had not been the Father's natural and true Word who had put on the body. Since we could have nothing in common with that which is foreign, we would not have been delivered from sin and from the curse if that which the Word put on had not been natural human flesh. So also the man would not have been deified if the Word which became flesh had not been by nature from the Father and true and proper to him. The union, therefore, was of just such a kind, so that he might unite what is man by nature to him who is in the nature of Godhead, thereby assuring the accomplishment of salvation and his deification. Let those, therefore, who deny that the Son is by nature from the Father and proper to his essence, deny also that he took true human flesh from the Virgin Mary. In neither case would it have been profitable to us men. If the Word were not by nature true Son of God, or if the flesh which he assumed were not true flesh. That's Athanasius at the Council of Nicaea in 360 AD. This one, defended by Athanasius, of course, is the one true God the Son who was prophesied in the garden. He is also the one prophesied all through the law and the sacrifices and the ceremonies. He is prophesied to in all of the Psalms. I want you to listen carefully to just a few verses from Psalm 118. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will enter into them. I will give thanks unto Yahweh. This is the gate of Yahweh. The righteous shall enter into it. I will give thanks unto thee, for thou hast answered me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This is Yahweh's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. What does John say in verse 3 of our text? And the one sitting like stone. Our Lord Jesus, in one of his confrontations with the Pharisees, says this. Jesus said unto them, "Did you never read in the Scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same was made the head of the corner. This was from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken away from you and shall be given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And he that falls on this stone shall be broken to pieces, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will scatter him as dust." Having read that from Jesus now, as he quotes from Psalm 118, he also quoted from another prophetic word. And we have to be immediately reminded of Daniel's interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Here it is. "And in the days of those kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, nor shall the sovereignty thereof be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces. The word in Hebrew there is scatter, Jesus' word, remember? Scatter and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as you saw that a stone was cut out of the mountain made without hands, and that it broke in pieces, scattered the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God has made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Now, what Jesus says to the Pharisees in Matthew 21 is exactly the same thing that Daniel saw in the vision and prophesied to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar. Israel would be snared and crushed on the stone, and the great dominating, culture-changing kingdoms of earth would be broken and scattered as dust by the stone, so that there would never be another dominating rival to the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. No oppressive tyrant dictator would ever again rule the earth and change the world's culture to his own. For the stone has broken and scattered the nations as dust, and has established his never-ending kingdom over all of the mountains. And his culture-changing kingdom would extend into all the kingdoms of the earth. What again did John see in the heaven? Immediately I did come in spirit, and lo, a throne set in the heaven, and upon the throne one sitting, and the one sitting like stone. Jasper and sardonyx in appearance, and a rainbow round about the throne like emerald in appearance. Now the other prophets saw visions of the stone as well and prophesied the cornerstone. Listen to Isaiah chapter 8, it's verse 14. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of crushing and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Again, Isaiah chapter 28. Wherefore hear the word of Yahweh, you scoffers that rule this people that is in Jerusalem. Because you've said, we've made a covenant with death. With Hades we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, because we've made lies our refuge. Under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord Yahweh, behold, lo, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone of sure foundation. He that believes shall not be in haste, and I will make justice the line and righteousness the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place, and your covenant with death shall be annulled, and your agreement with Hades shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. From Ezekiel chapter 1, we read this, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was a likeness as the appearance of a man above it. I want to take us back to Sinai for a couple of minutes from Moses' book of Exodus at chapter 24, okay? Listen carefully. Moses came, told the people all the words of Yahweh, all the ordinances. All the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words with Yahweh, which Yahweh has spoken, we will do." Moses wrote all the words of Yahweh, rose up early in the morning, built an altar under the mountain, and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel, sent young men of the children of Israel who offered burnt offerings, sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto Yahweh. Moses took half of the blood, put it in basins. Half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. He took the book of the covenant, which he had just written, read it in the audience of the people, and they said, "All that Yahweh has spoken will we do, and we will be obedient." Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant which Yahweh has made with you concerning all these words." Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. They saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone. And as it were, the very heaven for clearness. Upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. They beheld God, and they did eat and drink. Right after that, we read this. Yahweh said unto Moses, "Come up to me in the mount and be there. I will give you the tables of stone and the law and the commandment which I have written, that you may teach them." Please note carefully that the covenantal law word was written on stone. Got to thinking, is there any wonder that the God-ordained means of execution of lawbreakers was stoning? Right after the giving of the covenantal law on stone, God begins giving Moses the details for the building of his tabernacle. One of the first things required was onyx stones for the ephod of Aaron the priest, upon which was written all 12 of the names of the tribes of Israel. Then I want you to listen to the description of the breastplate to be made for Aaron. Listen carefully. "And you shall make a breastplate of judgment, the work of the skillful workman, like the work of the ephod thou shalt make it, of gold, of blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen shall you make it. Four square it shall be in double, a span shall be the length thereof, and a span the breadth thereof, and you shall set in it settings of stone, four rows of stone. A row of sardius, topaz, and carbuncle shall be the first row. The second row, an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. The third row, a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. The fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be enclosed in gold in their settings, and the stones shall be according to the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, every one according to his name. They shall be for the 12 tribes." The names and the colors of the stones on the breastplate of the high priest of Israel are very significant here as we consider what John sees here in our text. Please remember that everything about the tabernacle, everything about the ceremonial system, everything about the sacrificial system corresponds to the judgment seat throne room of God in the heaven. For the priest wore the stones corresponding to the stone that the Apostle John sees. By the way, you heard the word carbuncle. It's not a sore. It's a translation of a Hebrew word for a fiery red stone which resembles a burning coal which is found below the throne of God in the visions of the heaven. Deuteronomy chapter 10, Moses receives direction to build the Ark of the Covenant. We need to see that it's not the box itself that's holy, but it is the box holding the stones which is holy. For the law of God written on the stones corresponds to the judgment seat of God in the heaven. So it is the box holding the stones upon which is written the word of God, which is placed in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. So the entire older scripture, and by no means have we covered very much of it, the whole Old Testament reflects the judgment seat of God in the heaven, as in every part it prophesies the stone that John now sees in the door that is open in the heaven. And we've heard our Lord himself refer the Pharisees to himself as the stone who was prophesied. Let's look at the newer scripture a little bit and see how the inspired writers post resurrection teach the churches about the stone and what is necessary to be done quickly. First, after only a couple of months after Jesus' resurrection, the Apostle Peter and the Apostle John are preaching and teaching the people in the temple complex in Jerusalem, Acts chapter 4. A lame man has just been healed. Hundreds are believing the word of God preached by the apostles, and the apostles are arrested for that and brought before the Sanhedrin to testify. And here's what the Apostle Peter says to the 70, the Sanhedrin, the leadership, the princes of Israel. If we this day are examined concerning a good deed done to an impotent man, by what means this man is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, who God raised from the dead, even in him does this man stand here before you whole. He, that is Jesus, he is the stone which was set at naught of you, the builders, which was made the head of the corner. And in none other is there salvation, for neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men wherein we must be saved. He is the stone, Peter says. He is the stone in the heaven prophesied in all the scripture, and all the princes of Israel have dashed themselves upon this rock. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, says this at the end of chapter 9, "Even as it is written, behold, lo, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And he that believes on him shall not be confounded, put to shame." Paul quotes directly from the Isaiah 28 passage that we read a couple of minutes ago. And by the way, the word stumbling is not a good translation of the Hebrew word in Isaiah, and it's not a good translation of the Greek word either in the text. The word refers to dashing oneself to pieces on the rock of offense. It's a snare and a trap and a rock of dashing into pieces. Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, reminds the seven churches of Asia of all these things in the older scripture when he says this. So then you are no more strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom each several building, fitly framed together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God in spirit. The primary passage, though, in all of the New Testament corresponding to the heaven and filling up all of the older prophetic word is the Apostle Peter's first letter to all of these refugee elect Jews sent out of Israel into the nations before the devastating word of God came in his parousia. Here it is in chapter 2. Putting away therefore all wickedness and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes long for the spiritual milk which is without guile, that you may grow thereby unto salvation, if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, unto whom coming a living stone, rejected indeed of men, but with God elect, precious. You also, as living stones, are built up into this spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Because it is contained in Scripture, lo, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that faiths on him shall not be put to shame. For you therefore that believe is the preciousness, but for such as disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, the same was made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. For they stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who in time past were no people at all, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Peter says to the Jewish refugees from Israel that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, is a living stone, and that each of his elect people are living stones built up to be a new holy temple and a royal priesthood, thereby recalling all the stones set in Aaron's garment and all corresponding to the sight that John sees in the heaven. The vision of the heaven that the prophet Daniel saw was of a living stone cut from the mountain without hands, upon which Israel would fall and dash itself to pieces, and which itself would crush and scatter all the nations. That's what the Apostle Peter explains to the refugee elect from every tribe of Israel, all 12 tribes. The stone that John sees in the heaven, prophesied in the garden and in the law and in the prophets, is the stone of offense, which Israel is dashed to pieces. And he is the stone which crushes the nations and scatters them, so there is not another nation which rules and oppresses all the other nations of the earth, because his kingdom is over all of the mountains and over all the kingdoms of the earth. This is all coming to pass, you see, right before John's eyes, right in our text, as Jesus says to him, I will show you what is necessary to be done quickly, for the time is near. And upon the throne, one sitting like stone, jasper and sardonyx in appearance. Lastly, I want to read from the prophecy of Ezekiel for you. This puts a cap on all of our preaching of the stone this morning, and it brings the stones and the colors that John sees in the heaven into full array for us. In the prophecy of Ezekiel, God causes the prophet to prophesy against nations and against city-states that have broken covenant with God from the beginning. As the condemnation of this city-state, Tyre, proceeds, listen to the original perfections of God's creation as it reflects and corresponds to the beauty and colors and the stone that John sees here in our Revelation text. This is from Ezekiel chapter 28. Son of man, take up lamentation over the king of Tyre. Say to him, thus saith the Lord Yahweh, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold. The workmanship of your tabrets and of your pipes was in you. In the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub that covered. And I set you so that you were upon the holy mountain of God. You had walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created, till unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your traffic, they filled the midst of you with violence, and you have sinned. Therefore have I cast you as profane out of the mountain of God, and I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Even so, said our Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, even so, should Tyre and Sidon have seen the works of the Lord and heard his word as Israel had seen his works and heard his word, Tyre and Sidon would have repented. But Israel did not. It was offended by that word and those works. And Tyre would not suffer a fate nearly as severe as that which is coming to Israel. Even to this day, most Jews will not turn and believe that the stone, the very one that the Apostle John sees here in the heaven, the one rejected by the princes of Israel, the stone, is become the cornerstone of the new holy temple in the new city of God, on the new holy mountain of God, which reigns over all the mountains of the earth. And they still wish to bring that old temple back and reinstitute the sacrifices. As we gather at the Lord's table this morning, we have heard the word. Chief cornerstone has indeed been laid with the apostles as the remainder of the foundation of this new holy temple. All his people are precious stones in the structure of this new holy temple. Israel was indeed dashed to pieces on the rock. The nations have been crushed and scattered, that they no longer have dominion over all the peoples of the earth. The king and high priest is in his holy temple. His throne is one of grace and mercy to those who fear him and repent in faith and obedience. As we eat his body and drink his blood, let's remember all of these things and celebrate all that he's done. May God add great blessing to the reading and preaching of his word. Amen. Your bulletin on the second page is our confession of sin. Please turn there with me. Our next highest duty, of course, having heard the word and the preaching, is confession of sin. Using the confession that's now found